This episode was recorded prior to the COVID escalation, and some of the initiatives discussed obviously might shift to the right on the implementation timeline given priority requirements for the COVID response.
Okay, welcome everyone. Soldier Today podcast is a product of the Noncommissioned Officer and Soldier Programs Directorate and the Association of the United States Army. Soldier Today subjects focus on those topics that are relevant and needed by our soldiers and their families serving the regular Army, Army National Guard, and the Army Reserve. I'm Sergeant Major of the Army, retired Dan Daly, and welcome to this edition of Soldier Today podcast. Our newest discussion topic today covers a broad range of hot topics that are on the minds of our soldiers and leaders every day. These hot topics include updates on the movement of household goods, Army nutrition for soldiers in initial entry training, and basic allowance for substance, modernization of the organizational clothing and individual equipment, the optimization of maintenance functions across the Army, fielding timelines of the new Army Green Service Uniform, and issuing the equipment sets to support the new Army Combat Fitness Test. Each of these hot topics have been in the news and continue to evolve and move forward. All of these subjects directly impact soldiers and their leaders as our Army continues to improve. So these are great subjects to discuss, and the best person to have the discussion with is our Army G4 Sergeant Major, Sergeant Major Edward Bell. Sergeant Major, it's good to have you in the studio today. How are you?
SMA, I'm doing well, and I appreciate you and the AUS18 inviting me over, you know, to kind of really let soldiers know and keep them informed on exactly what's going on in our Army. So thank you very much.
We are glad to have you here, and these are great topics for our soldiers to hear about, and you are the perfect person to give us updates on these topics.
Thank you.
So let's jump right in, and I thought today we'd start with the permanent change of station. This is a big topic. It was a big topic for me as the SMA, and I just saw some recent news articles on this, so... You know, so how's that going? What can we do to help our soldiers?
Well, I tell you, SMA, the 2020 PCS season is quickly approaching. So we got to begin planning for success right now, right? Some of the things that the G4 has done to implement policy changes and new initiatives is to improve the relocation experience of our soldiers, families, and DA civilians. From a policy perspective, we're working to ensure soldiers have PCS orders in hand 120 days prior to their report date. I mean, that is huge. I mean, the quicker we can get that demand signal, the better we can help our soldiers and their family members.
Yeah, absolutely.
We also created policies that provide soldiers and their families with dislocation allowance prior to PCS and to assist with relocation expenses. That's huge. We know it can become very expensive in trying to move from point A to point B, and every little bit will help our soldiers and their family members. So we're very proud of that.
And we all dealt with that as young soldiers. You know, you got the challenges. You got to get rid of all your stuff, you know, start off at a new house and a new community and, you know, just that first bill at the commissary and, you know, helping them out financially in the front end is really going to go a long way with our soldiers.
We absolutely believe that. I would tell you that was a quick win for the Army, and we're glad we was able to implement that and make sure that we're taking care of our soldiers and their family members. So it's very well received in the field and very well appreciated and all the great feedback that we're receiving. Also, we're coming up with an app. Right. So we're going to push an app out prior to the 2020 peak season because we know that this generation of leaders and young people really want to have that decision-making process within their hands, right? And so we developed an app with input from nearly 100 soldiers, spouses, and DA civilians. So what our spouses think are very important. And so we want to make sure that we encompass that with getting spouse feedback.
Yeah. Well, you know, can we talk about that for a second?
Absolutely.
And this is amazing because, you know, think about when you're in that PCS cycle. You're at your house, you got everything unplugged, you're waiting for the movers to come. You can't get on the computer. You can't get on those. All you got is your phone. I think an app is going to be huge with regards to helping our soldiers during the PCS season.
Yeah, absolutely agree. You know, as we talk about now, how do we move from the industrial age to the information age? This app is going to be huge and really empowering our spouses and our soldiers and family members with the knowledge they need in order to have a successful PCS move.
Yeah. And so just to recap on that, so when can our soldiers expect to see that app?
Right before peak season. We're going to roll it out. You know, peak season typically starts around that June timeframe. Mm-hmm. So the intent is by our leadership is to have that app available around that time frame. It's going to be available on Google Play and the Apple App Store prior to peak season. So that's where our young men and women and our leaders will be able to get that app.
Now, do we have a name yet picked out for the app? Or is
maybe we'll call it the SMA Daily, number 15.
Well, I'll tell you what, we could have you back on the show when we get closer to that, and we could talk specifically about that app.
That'll be great. Really look forward to it.
Excellent.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So, quick question and information for our listeners out there. Where can they go to get information about their PCS move?
Absolutely. So, we always recommend that the website, the official website for the Army is move.mil. I mean, that is the official DOD customer moving portal. And we recommend that be the first step for all of our movers. That is the place to go, really, to get that one-stop shopping for anything pertaining to a PCS move.
Yeah, outstanding. And let's switch to a different subject.
Okay.
And substance nutrition. Now, this has always been a hot topic for our young soldiers, and even more so with this generation that are really concerned about what they eat. One of the Army's initiatives has been to improve the quality of food for our soldiers as part of a healthy lifestyle.
The Army Food Program has several ongoing initiatives to enhance the delivery options for our soldiers, to include food trucks, kiosks, and campus-style dining.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the food trucks, a little skeptical when I first heard that, but I was out of the Fort Carson just recently. I'll tell you, they're very popular with the soldiers, and there's healthy food coming out of those things.
Well, the food truck support soldiers is manned by soldiers, right? It's our 92 Golfs. Our culinary professionals are the ones that actually man those mobile platforms, and also it can feed up to 200 soldiers. So we believe that in order to increase utilization rates of our soldiers in our warrior restaurants, we don't call them dining facilities anymore, right? We don't call them defects. We call them warrior restaurants.
Yeah.
We call them warrior restaurants to appeal to our soldiers and also to give them a first-class meal. And so we're rebranding and calling them warrior restaurants.
So I assume the food trucks is a way to get the food to the soldier, too. I mean, if you're doing maintenance days, which is another important topic for the Army G4, right, getting maintenance done, you want to put everybody down the motor pool early. And right after PT, then have time, you can pull the food truck down there, I assume, to the motor pool. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct. We've had great success in going to those high volume areas where our soldiers work at. Our motor pools, places like rigor facilities. Each installation has like a soldier one stop. So when you get the new recruits that are PCSing in at different installation posts and camps, is taking that mobile platform to the soldier. Right. So whatever we can do to make sure that we're giving our soldiers the proper nutrition and making it more efficient and effective for them, and also giving time back to leadership for training and other things that they need to do. So this mobile platform, the food truck, has been a very good success for us, and we're very proud of it.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing some more of those. So another question in the nutrition area. So we talked about what BDFA is, but what is BDFA for each soldier, and how does it apply to soldiers who are on meal cards, single soldiers, or married soldiers?
Well, number one, it provides flexibility for the commander to add better ingredients, leaner cuts of meats, fruits, vegetables, and things like infused water. BDFA really gives the commander more buying power to ensure that the commander can give those increased nutrients and ingredients and things to the soldier. And also we try to synchronize it with the holistic health fitness. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's more than just the physical aspect. It's more than just the medical aspect. We believe that nutrition is a centerpiece to success when it comes to lethality of our soldiers. Also, we have our food management assessment teams, FMAT, to go out and validate to make sure that units are in compliance with where the Army is trying to go. And I think that's huge. And once again, we're trying to start out with the holistic and health fitness pilot locations to ensure that we can start there, get that assessment, get that analysis, and then spread it across to the rest of the Army.
So can you share a few places where we're going to do these pilots at with us?
Absolutely. So we've already started the food trucks and the kiosks at some locations like Fort Stewart, Georgia, Fort Drum, Fort Carson. Those are some of the locations that we've started at. We're getting analysis, getting that feedback, and seeing how can we adjust along the way to make sure that we get the biggest bang for the buck, not only for, you know, the leadership on the ground, but also to make sure that we can improve and meet the end state of our Army senior leaders. So we're just very excited and enthusiastic that not only food truck, but kiosks. Kiosks are grab and go for those soldiers that don't want to wait in line for the mobile food platform. They can go to the kiosk at those same locations and get that grab and go and keep moving. We found that a lot of our young men and women, they really like to get their food and move on to the next location. And so anything that we can do to provide a very nutritious meal that we can do to increase utilization of our warrior restaurants, I mean, that's where the Army is going and we're excited about it.
Yeah. So just one last question on the nutrition, Sergeant Major. You know, there's another acronym we hear associated with nutrition. That's SIK. What is SIK?
Subsistence in Kind is for our single soldiers that live in the barracks. Our warrior restaurants are designed for our SIK soldiers. Our SIK soldiers are our first priority. Those are those young men and women that are living in our government quarters, government barracks, that we're trying to make sure that we can improve access and throughput to ensure that they have a healthy meal. One of the other things that I want to talk about was this new initiative that we started. ACTION, Army Commitment to Improving Overall Nutrition. ACTION is an initiative that enables an enterprise collective effort to enhance readiness through nutrition. It is a deliberate, systematic battle rhythm event that we do by bringing all the stakeholders together on a quarterly basis. And what is the purpose of it? The purpose is to disseminate Army Food Service Program information, reprioritize resources, modify and update Army policy, a feedback mechanism to assess internal compliance and progress towards external Army desired end state. And last but not least, improve nutritional culture through the way we market, feed, and educate our young men and women.
Yeah.
We did the first action video teleconference in January. The next one will be the 2nd of April at 1000 hours out of the Pentagon, and bringing about all the stakeholders together and just having that conversation to make sure that we're in a synchronized, integrated effort to improve nutrition.
Yeah, that's awesome. And where can the soldiers find more information about the new program?
Well, for one thing, like this podcast, it's one. Mm-hmm. But also the Army G4 Facebook page is a great place and great source also to get information on some of the great things we're doing as it pertains to nutrition.
Excellent. All right, we got to move on. And this is a favorite topic of mine because, you know, if you listen to the Chief Staff of the Army talk, you never, ever, ever hear him fail to say something about modernization, right? So that is one of his big topics. And you hear it all the time. And it's important. Modernization is one of the Chief's priorities, and especially as it pertains to pertaining for future readiness. How has our organizational clothing and individual equipment, or OCIE, impacted based on the CSA's priorities?
Well, we believe, and we're moving towards modernizing our CIFs, and we feel that the goal is for the soldiers to have what they need to train and deploy with, and they will get that. And to achieve this goal, we're standardizing the OCIE kits for all our soldiers. We're changing how we provide initial issue, changing how soldiers in the field are sustained with OCIE, and how we will support soldiers at local camp, post, and station. How we're doing that? We're doing it by standardizing the soldiers' OCIE kits into three menus: a core soldier menu, a military occupational specialty menu, and then a regional menu. So the core soldier menu consists of OCIE items that are required by every soldier to perform their warrior tasks and battle drills. The MOS menu that are required to perform the specific MOS, military, police, food service professionals, as an example.
Yeah, so not every soldier gets the same equipment.
Exactly.
I mean, that makes sense, right? I mean, in the old days, we used to give everybody the same thing, but every soldier's mission is different.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so we're looking forward to it. And then regional menu are items that are required based off the physical environment, whether it's Arctic or jungle. So those are the three different categories that we're looking at. We're moving to do the initial issue of retain OCIE. So that means that when our young soldiers go to the basic combat training areas, the four areas that we have, is that when they leave that BCT area, they have their initial retain issue. That means that over the life cycle of their career, that they get to retain that equipment instead of going to stand in line and doing turn-in and DXing and things of that nature. That is going to be huge for us.
Yeah. So let me recount. This is a fundamental change the way we've been doing business for over 200 years, right? So you're telling me that you're going to go to basic training. You're going to get issued equipment. And most, but if not all, that equipment you're going to take with you when you leave basic training?
Absolutely. And think about it. That is really a culture change in our Army, right? Yeah. Because immediately you're teaching soldiers how to be accountable for their equipment.
Yeah.
Right? And also, they're going to have those drill sergeants and cadre there on the ground teaching them how to properly wear and maintain that equipment. Yeah. So it is a culture shift. But we know that once we can get this retain issue running, it's going to enable readiness for our Army. It really is.
I like it because now it says, this is mine.
Yes.
It's my equipment. I'm responsible for it. Like you said, I'm going to take care of it. We can instill that from the day they come in. I think it's a great program. And I think it's something that's long overdue.
Oh, yeah. We're looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Also, we're looking at rolling out OCIE direct ordering, ODO. And SMA, you know, when you're deployed downrange, we use the ADO to get those replacement items that we need. We're going to bring that to every camp, post, and station within our Army.
Now, let's break this down for our listeners because we're using a lot of acronyms. So ADO, okay, I know what that was, but in a very simplistic term, can you explain how that actually works? So a soldier's deployed and how does he or she get her equipment?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So typically when a soldier deploy, they can do Army direct ordering, right? Any equipment that they need, they can go on a web-based menu.
Online. Yeah.
And can order whatever they need, and it's verified and validated by some leader, typically a supply sergeant or somebody that the commander appoint to verify and validate, yes, that's the equipment that the soldier need. And then it go directly to the vendor and comes directly to the soldier's mail room or supply room. and issue to the soldier.
So the soldier gets a box.
Get a box.
With their equipment.
Yes.
They go online, they click what they want, their supervisor or the splice arm verifies it, digitally sent, and then it gets mailed to them. Can I get that in Iraq?
You can get it anywhere downrange right now in the CENTCOM area of operation. So we were the first Amazon. We've been doing this for years. We've been doing it for years.
Yeah, and I'm sure soldiers like that too, right? Because they have control over what they need and what they want based upon, you know, what they're using out in the field. And I'm sure there's a menu, right? There must be a menu of items they can select from.
Absolutely. There will be a menu. And for those high up-tempo items, we're going to have storefronts at the camp posting station. So if there's something a soldier need instantly for a mission, the soldier better go to that storefront and get that item. Yeah. And we're excited about it. We got to go from an industrial age warehouse model to a information age model to where we can get soldiers what they need, when they need it, without a bunch of inventory and stockage.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're excited.
So in keeping with the chief's priorities, how's this going to affect readiness? What's this going to do for our Army and our soldiers?
Well, everything that we do today is about enabling readiness. So being able to be more efficient and effective and giving our soldiers the resources that he or she need, when they need it, where they need it, it is really going to speed up the process to make sure our soldiers have the most modern equipment in the most efficient manner. And that's how it's going to enable readiness. Lethality starts with the soldier. The soldier is the centerpiece of lethality. And by giving the soldier what they need, when they need, in order to execute the mission, it's a big win for the Army.
Yeah, that's excellent. Well, Sergeant Major, let's transition to another subject, one that is one of my favorites, and I think one of the greatest initiatives the Army's done recently, and that's the new Army Green Service Uniform, the AGSU. And now it's in the process of being issued this year. And can you explain to our listeners the fielding plan for the AGSU, the Army Green Service Uniform, and how our soldiers are going to get it?
Absolutely, SMA. So this is one of the most proudest moments is the Army Green Service Uniform. We've been working on this for quite a while. You know, SMA, in November 2018, the Army adopted the Army Green Service Uniform as a new service uniform. We believe it will enable our Army to better relate to the nation and American people. AGSUs provide the Army its own unique, distinguished uniform. The uniform has ties to veterans who left great legacies, including the greatest generation, our World War II soldiers. So this quarter, our soldiers and leaders can expect the Army G1 to publish an Army directive with wear and appearance guidance. The ASU fourth quarter of 20 of this year, military clothing and sales will roll it out to begin for our graduates of recruiting school at Fort Knox, Kentucky.
So you're saying the young soldiers going to basic training, fourth quarter of this year, when they graduate, they're gonna be in the new AGSU.
Absolutely, we have a phase approach plan. So fourth quarter of this year through the second quarter of 21, we will begin issuing AGSUs in a phase plan approach to drill sergeants and trainees at our four basic combat training locations. Additionally, fourth quarter of 20 through second quarter 21, the Army Air Force Exchange will roll out in a phase approach to all Army military clothing and sales. It's huge,
yeah.
Right? It's gonna go across the entire Army. In FY21, Compo 2 and 3, our Reserve and National Guard.
And that's the question I was going to ask you.
I know what's coming.
When is the Reserve and Guard soldiers going to be able to get it?
They will begin to receive AGSU for replacement in kind. So that it is huge the way it's kind of was laid out by Army senior leaders. There was a deliberate plan put in place to ensure all of our soldiers had access to get this uniform.
Yeah, now you said replacement in kind. I'd like to break that down a little bit for our listeners out there. So what does that mean to a Reserve and Guard soldier?
Yeah, so currently right now, the model that our Reserve and National Guard soldiers use, when they need a new uniform, if something, there's a wear and tear, DX items, they can order that through their supply sergeant, through the normal supply chain, it goes to their logistics center, supplies are released and goes directly to the soldier supply room where the soldier can sign and get those resources. So nothing is gonna change for our Compo 2 and Compo 3 soldiers.
Right. Yeah.
The exact same process they use for replacement in kind, for ASUs, they would use it for AGSUs.
And that's a very responsible way of doing that. So you're saying is they continue to wear the blue uniform, right?
That's
the Army Service blue uniform. And when it wears out and they order a new uniform for the Guard or Reserve soldier, they'll get an AGSU in replacement.
That is absolutely correct. And we know that is a huge win for our Compo 2 and 3 teammates. And we know that everybody is excited that the way we're gonna roll this out, it's a deliberate method and how we're going to roll this out to ensure that everybody's taken care of. And so we're excited about in FY21 being able to roll it out to our Compo 2 and 3 teammates.
So I see a lot of talk about the uniform, very positive about the look for our soldiers and how popular it is. But one thing I see in all the threads online is comments about, you know, we're changing uniforms again. And what's the cost to our soldiers?
That is a great question. I knew it was coming. It will not cost our soldiers anything.
Nothing. Enlisted soldiers not going to have to pay for this uniform.
Enlisted soldiers get a clothing replacement allowance annually. We have came up with a cost-neutral method to where it would not cost our soldiers any additional monies in order to purchase this uniform. When we have laid it out over a 6 to 8 year time period to ensure our soldiers have the time and the resources to purchase the uniform. It will not cost our soldiers any additional money to purchase this uniform.
So I've got 6-7 years to get this uniform. There's a mandatory wear date, I'm assuming, that's going to be established. Do we have that date?
That is correct. The Army Service uniform, the one that we currently wear, the wear out date for that will be 30 September 27, right? So 1 October 27, AGSU will become the mandatory uniform for the entire Army. And we're proud about that.
Yeah.
And because coming up with a cost neutral method and ensuring that it doesn't cost our soldiers, and also allowing the enterprise to build up inventory and stocks, we're proud to be able to lay it out in this method.
So there's plenty of time for every soldier out there, active, guard, and reserve, before the AGSU is mandatory for wear in the year 2027.
That is correct. Soldiers, they can wait until the mandatory date, or they can utilize their clothing replacement allowance to get the uniform. And so we're excited. Here's what we believe. We believe that once clothing sales around the globe have that uniform, that it's not going to stay on the shelves. We believe that soldiers are excited about it. All the great feedback we're receiving about this uniform. It is one of the most popular things that the Army has done since the Black Sox SMA.
Wow.
Right? You know about the Black Sox, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure do. I sure do. And they are popular. So you travel around the Army, and that's, you know, that's your job, to bring feedback to the Army G4 and get the sense of the soldiers. What's the number one question they're asking about the AGSU?
Yeah, really the number one question is, how much is it going to cost and when will it be available? And it is a cost-neutral method that we use. It will not cost our soldiers anything, right? They have a clothing replacement allowance that would absolutely enable them to get the uniform when required. And so that is the number one question. And then when is it coming? We have a phased approach, as mentioned earlier, that the uniform will be available in APHIS starting fourth quarter 20 through second quarter 21. APHIS will roll out in a phased approach to all Army military clothing and sales. So by next winter, every soldier will have access to that uniform if they like. And so we're excited about that. I mean, we're absolutely excited. By next year, this time frame, every soldier will have access to that uniform if they like.
Well, you heard it here on Soldier Today. The two big questions is, what's it going to cost and when are we going to get it? And very, very well described by Sergeant Major Bell. Thank you, Sergeant Major. Let's transition. I want to talk a little bit about a different subject. And I've been seeing more and more leaders and soldiers taking the new Army Combat Fitness Test. And this is a hot topic in the Army today. And it's been a hot topic since it hit the streets just last year. And I've been asked lots of questions about the issue plan for ACFT just as recently as a trip that I made to Fort Bliss. The soldiers asked me, when are we getting our equipment? I know you've been working hard on that, but can you give us an update so the soldiers know when exactly we're going to be fully fielded across the Army?
Yeah. Well, this is a very integrated approach with the Tank and Automotive Command, TACOM, as the executive agent for fielding the equipment. So working and integrating within the enterprise, the fielding is conducted on a regional basis to accommodate the entire Army, because it's got to be a total Army approach for our Compo 2 and 3 teammates also. It began in January, fielding, and will be complete May of 2020. By the end of May 2020, the way that we're going right now, every soldier will have access to the Army combat equipment. That's what we are striving for. May 2020, every unit will absolutely have the equipment.
Now, Sergeant Major, I just got to ask you a question. So there has been some delays in this, and at no fault of the Army, and most people know that. I don't want to get into that here, but fitness is very important for you, right? And what I tell soldiers is, you don't have to wait. I mean, is that true? I mean, you could still start training for the ACFT without the equipment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can go in any typical gym, and there's equipment that you can do
to also help you prepare for the ACFT. You do not have to wait to be issued the ACFT equipment. You can go into any gym. And also, our manual lays out all the alternate events that you can do to prepare those muscle groups in order to ensure that you're successful for the ACFT.
Yeah, so bottom line, equipment's coming.
Yep, it is coming.
It's gonna be here, but don't wait till it shows up. Start working out on the ACFT now.
Yeah, and we need leaders involved, right? We really need leaders involved to spearhead this event. So think about it. This test will give our commanders and leaders over an 80% indication that their young men and women are ready to conduct their warrior tasks and battle drills. So that's what it's all about. It's about readiness. It's about being able to do an assessment to make sure that our soldiers are physically ready to do their warrior tasks and battle drills. And that's what it's all about at the end of the day. It's about how do we enhance and improve the physical readiness of the Army. It's long overdue, and we're absolutely excited about the ACFT. But we really need leaders involved. And nothing is going to happen until we can get a squad leader, a sergeant, right, in front of his or her soldiers and to really initiate the action to make every soldier successful. So we're absolutely excited.
Yeah, and absolutely. This is just like any other task we require of our soldiers. It takes leadership to lead them from the front.
It does.
So I'm going to switch subjects on you one more time, Sergeant Rader, and we'll close out with another piece that the Chief Staff of the Army is very, very, very excited and focused on, and that is modernization and optimization of maintenance. It's a huge focal area for the United States Army, and I've been reading about it. So can you tell us, how is the Army G4 focusing on the priority, this priority, across the Army?
So optimization maintenance. What we learned is that we took a real hard look across many of our systems and found that a high level of readiness, 92 to 98% can be achieved using significantly fewer resources. When we talk about resources, we talk about mechanic man hours and parts costs with no decrement to safety, reliability, or performance with the appropriate application of risk mitigation measures. So what we found is that we were over-servicing our vehicles. The Chief and the Secretary have made it clear that we need to take a comprehensive look across the Army at all of our programs to find areas where we can free up time, money, and manpower to put back into higher priorities. From our foxhole to G4, a great example of this is our effort to optimize the way we service our equipment. If we look at the FMTV as an example, we currently service that vehicle at 6,000 miles or every 6 months.
No, I didn't want to stop you there, Sergeant Major, but I have to for our listeners out there that are not soldiers. What is an FMTV?
FMTV is a family of medium tactical vehicles. It's kind of compared to a large Suburban for our civilian population compared to a smaller vehicle that one may drive.
So like a big troop carrier.
A big troop carrier.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what it is. Typically used to carry soldiers or cargo. And so if we look at that particular vehicle, we service that vehicle every 6,000 miles or every 6 months, whichever one comes first. In many cases, we've been over-servicing our vehicles because this model is predominantly time-based rather than usage-based. So imagine that.
Yeah.
The vehicle just sits in the motor pool, and because policies say that it must be serviced every 6 months, we're having mechanics spend time, and we're spending resources by ordering parts on a vehicle that never moves.
And every time you tear something apart, there's a risk of damage.
Exactly.
Right? There is. It's just inherent in the job, right? So, I mean, that's smart, right? So you're going from a time base. Like you said, if it just sits there and 6 months elapse, you're not going to service it then? You're going to do it based upon utilization? So miles, probably, the amount of miles put on it?
Absolutely. We're going to look at miles and in some cases hours, depending on what type of equipment it is. And think about this. If implemented for the wheel vehicle, Army-wide, there is a potential cost saving of almost $50 million.
That's a big cost savings. Right. Yeah, just right. Changing the way we do business.
Absolutely. Just doing business a little bit smarter. Changing culture. Right. And so we've got a lot of support in the field, especially from some of our Army commands like ForceCom that are really, really excited about this optimization maintenance program.
Yeah. And I can see why the Chief and Secretary are so excited about these initiatives, because these are resources we can free up for all the other things and the other initiatives they want to get after. And money and resources we can use to take care of our soldiers and families, right?
Exactly. So as we look at modernizing the Army, every dollar counts, right? As we look at the future Army of 2028, 2035, every dollar counts when it comes to how can we better modernize the Army to ensure that we're ready for whatever is over the horizon. And so that's what it's all about. Everything that we're doing is about enhancing readiness and taking care of our people. People first and enhancing readiness. So that's what this is all about, SMA.
Well, that's excellent. Well, Sergeant Major, our time is coming to a close here, but I want to give you one more opportunity. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners out there and our great Soldier Today audience?
So, you know, as we navigate around, if there's any feedback or any thoughts on how we can improve what we're doing in Army, please get that up to our senior leaders, because some of the best ideas we have out there in the field is really from a young soldier, a young man and woman who is executing their day-to-day mission. We're very proud of what we're doing in the Army G4 and what we're doing for our Army. It's all about readiness. And when we look forward, as we come around to your camp posts and stations, that you come and talk to us and kind of give us those ideas that you have. And really, it's all about taking care of people. It's about readiness. It's about modernization. And it's a collective team approach. And so we're just very thankful for the Army G4 to be able to take care of our young men and women who wear the uniform every day and our DA civilians who serve our nation proudly. So I appreciate this opportunity, SMA, from you and the AUSA team to allow us to speak about these topics today.
Well, we appreciate you having this studio. So just one more comment on what you just said. If I am young Private Daly out there and I've got a great idea, and I always had a lot of great ideas, can I go on the Army G4 Facebook page and type it in there, and will someone get it? Will someone listen to me?
Absolutely. Typically, every R staff Facebook page has some type of way for soldiers to give feedback, and we look forward to it. So if there are any feedback that you can give us, please visit the Army G4 Facebook page and look at some of the great things that we have going on and give us feedback. Let us know how we're doing. Because really, the reality of what we're doing in the building means most if it enables readiness at the tactical level. So the most strategic things that we're doing, we want to make sure that we're enhancing readiness at the most tactical level. And so we really enjoy that and look forward to your feedback.
Well, there you heard it from the United States Army G4 Sergeant Major, Sergeant Major Edward Bell. Our time has come to an end to close this edition of Soldier Today podcast. All of us here at the Association of the United States Army want to thank Sergeant Major Edward Bell for joining us today for this great update on many of the ongoing initiatives across our Army. As an Army alumni, I can say from all of us across the country, thank you, and all of our soldiers for what you have done and all that you continue to do. Thank you for your continuing the proud traditions of our Army that makes us the greatest land power force in the world.
To all our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. The Army Matters podcast series is brought to you by the Association of the United States Army, the U.S. Army's professional association, member-supported, Army-connected. Visit us at AUSA.org for more information or to become a member. Your membership helps AUSA continue to carry out its mission to educate, inform, and connect with the total Army, our industry partners, and our supporters of a strong national defense. For questions or to provide topic recommendations, email us at podcast@AUSA.org. Have a great Army Day. Hooah!